You know, in neither case is the woman a spectator. And so, you know, and men, we need to learn from this too. We can't just be spectators. We get to be wise or we get to be foolish. We don't get to be neutral in this. Verse 2, he who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. You know, we talked about what kind of things to look for. Look for the fear of the Lord. 18 references to fearing the Lord in Proverbs. It's an important idea. Have the right frame of mind towards God, about God. And it will affect your walk. Verse 3, you know, we talked about watching for the mouth. We get the mouth here. We're going to get a lot of the mouth today. In the mouth of the fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. So the wise are protected. Their lips will protect them, but the fool, you know, well, how we use our words has an impact on us. Fools are pretty proud of their opinions, aren't they? And that pride is going to end up beating them. Verse 4, where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Well, obviously this has more to do with us than with oxes or oxen. When we finish a job, we clean our tools. It doesn't say don't clean your tools, but when you're in the middle of a job, there's going to be a mess. There's going to be sawdust. There's going to be manure. There's going to be mud, sweat. Those are steps along the way. You know, life might be cleaner without an ox. And some of us know people who are oxes. Some of us might be an ox and, you know, we... Increase comes by the strength of an ox. It might be messy, you know. You may even know somebody involved in a ministry, and you're kind of like, man, a bull in a china shop, but boy, they get things done. Verse 5. I don't know how to paraphrase verse 4 anymore, so I'm moving on. It's just, you know, do you know an ox is probably my application. Verse 5. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. You know, pretty straightforward. You got one telling the truth, you got another that can't be trusted, and, you know, it comes down to their mouth, what they're going to say. Verse 6, more mouth, more lips. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. A scoffer is someone who mocks. They're going to make fun of, you know, in our context, they're going to make fun of the Bible. They're going to make fun of God. Man, you Christians, you're a joke. You know, it says they seek wisdom and don't find it because the source of their wisdom is what they're making fun of. I mean, they're going to the wrong places. But knowledge is easy to him who understands. And I think the main thing that we need to understand is, man, if we lack wisdom, ask God. Verse 7. Go. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Just leave. And, you know, we ended up having a lengthy discussion in our home fellowship because, you know, well, what if you're called to minister to this person? What if, you know, you're out evangelizing? What? And this is where the wisdom thing comes in because there are people who, you know, they're apologetic ministry. And they're called to, you know, go out and talk to those JWs for an hour because it keeps the JWs away from everybody else. And, but overall, you know, there's a point where you're casting pearls before swine and you just need to go. It's been about a month now since Bob taught, you know, 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals. So a lot of people who think, oh, you know, I can handle it. I can go into this bar and witness to the people in the nightclub. And, you know, my wife is smiling. We knew somebody in the Philippines who claimed that they had a ministry going into the bars and witnessing to the hookers. And we just thought, this is dangerous what this guy's doing. And so there are times where you're to go. Verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. So the prudent is the one who stops, they think, they consider. They're thinking through, what are the implications? But the fool, they're lying to themselves. And so, yeah, take time to look at the facts, to be honest, to be prudent. Verse 9 tells us, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. They treat sin as a joke. I remember in college, the fraternities. I had nothing to do with the fraternities, but I remember a couple of fraternities and hearing stories, and I don't know if they were, you know, campus legends or whatnot, but it's just they tried to outdo each other in sin. And so that's what came to my mind when I read this verse. Don't treat sin as a joke. It's not a joke. In 10, we see the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. And, I look at this verse and I'm thinking, okay, what can I get out of this verse? The heart knows its own bitterness, stranger doesn't share its joy. Bitterness, joy, what? And just the realization is, you know, if I'm talking to somebody, I can't be flippant and just say, I know how you feel. I don't. If they're joyous, you know, I can be joyful with them. If they're bitter, if they're hurting, I can, you know, be compassionate. But just to be flippant and say, oh, I know how you feel, we don't. We never know how they feel. We might remember how we felt in a similar situation. And so this is one where, and as far as, you know, I'm not trying to explain it so much as saying, how can it apply to me? And how can it apply to you? And it's just, you know, in your compassion, when you come alongside somebody, just remember, you know, ultimately, you're not going to understand the depths of their bitterness or the heights of their joy, but you can be next to them. You can come alongside. In verse 11, we read that the heart knows its, The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Reading something like that, I think, you know, the kid's song, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And I just wonder if this wicked person with their house is looking down at the tent of the upright and thinking, man, what a joke. They've only got a tent. I've got this great house. And, but which one is going to flourish? It's going to be the upright. It might be a simple dwelling, but they're upright. They're right with God. Verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Let me read a couple more verses before we talk about them. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. So we've got here a man, and there's a way that seems right to him. You know, his feelings, it seems right. Verse 14, it's his own ways. It's not God's ways. It's his ways. It's very self-oriented, this person. But the end of this for them is going to be death. Verse 13, the end is going to be grief. You know, what will you do when the party's over? Here, you know, they had all of this mirth, but it's going to come to grief. And verse 12 is so important that the Holy Spirit's going to repeat it verbatim again in chapter 16. You know, there's a lot of verses where, you know, Solomon, you can imagine Solomon with, you know, his son or other children, you know, Sunday school class of junior hires. He's talking to them, and he tries to mention it one way, and tries to mention another way in a different illustration. But here, this is such an important point. You're going to get it verbatim. I'm going to tell you more than once. There's a way that seems right to you, and it's going to end in death. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. And here's just an issue of discernment. You know, one has discernment, the other does not. 16 tells us a wise man fears and departs from evil. Here we got the go again. You know, leave, go. The contrast is the fool rages and is self-confident. So again, that reinforces what we just saw. The fool is concerned about self. They've got a lot of self-esteem. The wise person fears and departs from evil. You know, there comes a point, and if you were in my high school class, I'd be telling you, there comes a point at the party where you better call mom and say, pick me up. Things are getting out of hand here. But that might be true for adults too. You know, there's a party and we're thinking, things are out of hand. I wish my mommy would call me, but since she's not around, I better man up or woman up and head for the car. 17 tells us a quick-tempered man acts foolishly and a man of wicked intentions is hated. We already saw in 16 the fool rages. Here we've got they're quick-tempered. 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. That prudent person again, that person who stops and they think, they consider the situation, how do I answer, what do I do here? A prudent person isn't indecisive, though. They do come to a decision, but it's an informed decision. Nineteen, the evil will bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. And, you know, the one thing that comes to my mind is every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. 20 and 21 go together. The poor man is hated, even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. If you took verse 20 by itself and you stopped and started thinking about it, and okay, what am I supposed to learn here? It'd be confusing. Verse 20 is the observation. Solomon has made this observation. 21 is the warning. Don't go along with the crowd. Don't despise the neighbor. Don't hate that poor man. But he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Man, so how do we have mercy? This is a struggle, isn't it? I mean, we struggle. We wonder, you know, what do I do? What does the church do? You know, is there a ministry I can support? You know, is there a government program that I should, you know, advocate for? Because as Christians, we're called to love our neighbors. But the struggle is, Lord, give me the wisdom how to show them mercy. Because giving somebody on a street corner $5 may be the wrong thing. But God does sometimes call people and says, hey, open your wallet. God more often says, give them time. Drive down the street, pick up a hamburger, come back, also include a coffee, cream and sugar, and give it to that person. And we're a lot quicker to say, hey, I'd rather give them a buck than give them 10 minutes of my time. But a lot of times it's the time that shows the mercy. Man, we got to ask for wisdom. Where do we go for wisdom? God's word. What does God's word say? If we lack it, ask God. Because, you know, I think everyone here could say that we see homeless every day. We see people, and we wonder, you know, the guy at the corner, is he really homeless or is he, you know, camped out here and is he going to get in his car at 5 o'clock and head home? Man, that's real judgmental, isn't it? So verse 21 here is a challenge. We can't despise. It's a sin to despise that person. So how do we show mercy? Man, Lord, give me wisdom. God's going to bring up mercy again in this chapter. We're not done with the challenge to be merciful. Verse 22. Do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. So we got two different people devising here. One's devising evil, one's devising good. Man, what plans are you making? What are you planning on doing? What are you devising? In all labor, there is profit, we read in verse 23. But idle chatter leads only to poverty. And it's the all labor. So this isn't just, you know, your job. This is getting home and doing the dishes. This is getting home and teaching your young child how to put away the dishes. Because there's profit for them to learn from a chore. Idle chatter only leads to poverty. We probably know people in all of our workplaces who it seems all they're doing is talking to other people. And, you know, well, verse 23. I won't say anything more. There's a lot of verses about work ethic. We've talked about the mouth. We've talked about, you know, fear of the Lord. We've talked about rules. Work ethic is another topic that repeatedly comes up in Proverbs. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. Man. Wise, you know, whether this is material riches, spiritual riches, they have something to show for what they've done. 25, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. The context here is the court of law, but the application, we can get personal application. I mean, if you've got a gift of evangelism, you're going, all right, I like this verse, don't you? 26, in the fear of the Lord, there's a strong confidence, and his children have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. You know, a proper view of God, a proper respect, a proper awe, a proper fear results in strength and life. It gives us a refuge, a hiding place. 28, in a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. Since I work across from the Capitol, I just think politics when I see something like this. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Slow to wrath. Where have we heard something like that before? Oh, the commentary on the book of Proverbs, which is James 1:19. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, slow to wrath. A fool, on the other hand, can't control their temper. They react without thinking. They are impulsive. They are uncontrolled. 30 tells us a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Now, resentment, hatred can eat a person up mentally, physically, spiritually. And so I prayed at the beginning about distractions. I mean, a lot of those distractions can be, hey, this person hurt me. This person is one of those, you know, people at the water cooler at work, you know, the idle chatter person. And so now instead of, you know, focusing on problems, I'm just getting mad at this person that I, you know, was thinking about in verse 24 at work who doesn't do anything. And man, no, let's get focused on God, because envy is rottenness to the bones. It just eats us up from the inside. Chapter 15, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. There is a historical account in 1 Samuel 25 dealing with the harsh word and the soft answer. Nabal gave David's messenger a very harsh word. And the result was David just got angry and it's, okay, guys, get your swords. We're going to go. We're going to kill them all. On the way, he was intercepted. He was intercepted by a soft answer. Abigail came and spoke gently, wisely. I mean, she ran circles around David logically. David was just, you know, up in arms, and she just gave him a soft answer, and it turned away his wrath. Man, how do you answer when somebody gets in your face? The temptation is always to answer harshness with more harshness. I'll admit, this is difficult, especially in the working place. It's kind of like, well, I don't want to seem weak. I don't want to, you know, be taken advantage of. So yeah. Say a quick prayer. Lord, how do I answer this softly? How do I answer it prudently? Because verse 2 tells us the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. Softly, tactfully, good timing. But the mouth of the fools pours forth foolishness. And it gets the point across, diarrhea of the mouth. Pours forth foolishness. They talk and they talk and they get themselves in trouble. 3 tells us the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. God sees. Sometimes we struggle. God, you know, don't you see what's going on? Sometimes it's the opposite. We think, oh, if I use a different screen name, God won't know it's me. No, God knows it's you. He's keeping a watch. Verse 4 tells us, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. I left out some verses, didn't I, at the end of? I skipped a page of notes. So I'm going to do verse 4, and we're going to go back and finish 14. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Man, words hurt and words heal. And not only that wholesome tongue, it's not just the words, it's the tone. And I have to remind myself of that because that is one of my failings, is, you know, the tone that I use, and I got to back off and say, I need to say these words, but I need to say it in a better tone, more loving. Maybe I should smile when I'm saying this instead of my usual, you know, frown. Where were we? 31. Okay. Somebody should have stopped me. 31. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. This is the other verse about mercy in that chapter. So he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. How? Every person you meet is made in the image of God. We are all image bearers of God. And so it's a reproach on God to reproach somebody made in his image. Here, because they're poor. I mean, if they need to be rebuked, you know, Solomon's going to cover that other places. But here, just, man, you're poor. I'm going to, you know, treat you like dirt. No. God says, they're in my image. He who honors God has mercy on the needy. Back to verse 21. You know, and a big debate in our society. How do I show mercy? What is mercy and what is not? Again, this predates politics, and so I'm not talking politics here. I'm talking Bible. How do we show mercy? God, help us. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart, but what is in the hearts of fools is made known. Either way, the heart is involved. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And what exalts a nation? Olympic gold medals? The Olympics is this year, right? You know, our status, our cultural influence, economic prosperity, our military. God says, no, it's righteousness. And so, you know, righteousness exalts a nation. And so we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our leaders, because we're told to in Scripture. When the Olympics come on, we need to remember this verse. So, the king's favor is towards a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. I just put down, you know, be a wise employee. I remind my people, they all know it, but, you know, one of our top rules working for the assembly is you don't embarrass an assembly member. You know, if they're at somebody's funeral and they need a memorial resolution, you make sure it's in their hands. You know, it's not in pieces, in a FedEx truck somewhere. Now we can go back to chapter 15. Verse 5. I'll take a drink while you find your place. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. And they listen. If they're going to receive correction, it's smart of them. They're thinking it through. You know, the fathers especially, you know, they would be teaching their kids the word. They were challenged, you know, to teach these things when you walk in the way, you know, rise up, go to bed and whatnot. And so the mom taught a lot of stuff too. And so I think that, every mom out there, it's kind of like you don't want your kid being foolish either. Don't be a fool. Let's not worry about the mom and dad. Let's worry about, hey, I better not be foolish. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. Again, I'm not seeing this treasure as material wealth because trouble is not a material item. And so, you know, the treasure of the righteous, joy, peace, fruit of the Spirit, love. 7, the mouth again. Boy, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. And what we say comes from our hearts. What do you share with others? What are you telling others? The lips of the wise. Yeah, we're prudent. We might be slow to speak, but we do speak. And when we speak, we're dispersing knowledge. 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. You know, the sacrifice of the wicked, the outward, it reminds me to obey is better than sacrifice. Here, to pray is better than sacrifice. Take the time to pray. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. There are those who won't listen, and, you know, the Holy Spirit, through Solomon, is making it clear, you know, there's going to be harsh discipline. You forsake the way, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Verse 11 then, right after that, hell and destruction before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the Son of Man? Again, God sees the heart. You know, hell and destruction are before him. And nothing is hidden from God. Verse 12, we run into the scoffer again. The one who mocks. The scoffer does not love the one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. You know, they mock when their attitudes and their actions are challenged. They, you try and correct them and say, hey, you know, that's wrong. Well, no, it's right for me. Who made you my judge? It's nothing new. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Man, the heart here. And, a sorrowful heart, man. Again, the application I get out of this is be ready to encourage somebody with a sorrowful heart. I'm not the best encourager. I think there are people who have a spiritual gift to encourage others. But that's not an excuse. I can't say, well, I'm not gifted in that area, so I don't have to, give somebody a hug who hasn't had a hug all week, or, I don't have to stop and pray because that's not my gift. No, we're all called to encourage. Say we're all called to share the gospel. We're all called to show hospitality. We're all called to encourage one another, spur one another on to love and good works. 14, more of the heart. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. So that merry heart, cheerful countenance, and here, continual feast. It's a blessing. Seek joy in the Lord. One of the best ways I know to do that when I'm down is, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. I just put on praise music or put on, early Jesus rock from the 70s and 80s or something. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. That gets my heart merry. But yeah, we need to be available to minister to those with broken hearts. 16 and 17 tell us that better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. First, the context, fear of the Lord. We've run into that a number of times just in this one chapter. It is an important concept that gets repeated. And a proper view of God gives us a proper view of material goods versus mental goods versus spiritual goods. Here, better is a little. Your bowl of rice and then great treasure with trouble. Better as a dinner of herbs, my green beans and broccoli, because that fatted calf, that steak with hatred isn't worth it. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. It doesn't mention the mouth, but I just picture that's this wrathful man is just stirring up trouble, and it's not an accident. The way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. Whenever I see highway in the book of Proverbs or, the path or whatnot, I think about Jesus and, you've got the broad way, you've got the narrow gate and the narrow way. There are these two roads. We saw wisdom back in chapter 5 at the crossroads, the fork in the road saying, turn in here. Go in this direction. That way of the lazy man is a hedge of thorns. I mean, it's not even a, a dirt road. I mean, there are thorns, there are obstacles, there are potholes. The way of the upright, it might be narrow, but it's smooth. And, you know, now, if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, you're going to go, well, I mean, there was a valley of death, and there was, you know, the giant, and, you know, Vanity Fair, and all of these things, but compared to the way of the lazy man, it's pretty smooth. So don't be lazy. Don't be asleep in the light. You know, the spiritually lazy, they blame God for the thorns. The upright, they recognize, hey, that's spiritual warfare. A wise son makes a father glad. A foolish man despises his mother. You know, I mean, when the kids do foolish things, the moms are hurt more emotionally than the dads. And some of the dads have to put up, you know, that strong face and whatnot. But it hurts when the mother is despised. Folly is a joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Again, that contrast, folly versus understanding. And, you know, the thing is, if they have no discernment, they think their foolishness is funny. It's a joy. It's a party. I have a note here, you know, so I'm going to look at another verse here, Proverbs 10:23. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. You know, again, those fraternities that got a kick from competing with each other to see who could, you know, do more sin. Verse 22 tells us, without counsel, plans go awry, but in a multitude of counselors, they are established. This is the second time we've seen the advice, have a multitude of counselors. You know, don't do it on your own. And, you know, yeah, getting advice from one person could be a blessing, could be helpful, good counsel. But a multitude of counselors, you know, get advice. Be teachable. You know, take more than one class. You know, go on a website. You know, Blue Letter Bible, you know, has Blue Letter Bible Institute, and you can take classes in different things from different teachers, multitude of counselors. That's my encouragement there. 23 tells us, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Man, what you say and how you say it, and the due season part, when you say it. But, you know, if you give somebody some good counsel, if you give somebody some encouragement, you can tell they're down, and you say, hey, brother, sister, you know, let's pray. Let's go to the Word. And you can see they're blessed. There is joy by giving them, you know, a good answer when needed, in due season. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. You know, be wise. 25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. He will establish the boundary of the wicked. And so pride. Widow. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. He will establish the boundary of the widow. I even had that highlighted because I want to make a point about that. You know, a widow is very humble. They're dependent on God, especially in that culture. They were super dependent upon God. And God's watching out for them. But, you know, that person that has pride, you know, and that's really, I'm convinced pride is at the root of all sin and rebellion. We saw it in the Garden of Eden, continues today. You know, we've seen repeatedly here tonight, you know, selfishness. You know, the fool, the wicked, just considering their own way. You know, what makes them feel what right. It's all pride. It's all selfishness. And it will be destroyed. 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. So before there are any actions, God sees the hearts and thoughts here. And those thoughts are eventually revealed by words. 27 tells us, he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. Man, greedy for gain. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, Paul has told us. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. So again, the difference in being slow to speak versus quick to have diarrhea of the mouth. The Lord is far from the wicked, and the wicked want to be far from God. But he hears the prayer of the righteous. Man, go to God in prayer. Men's prayer, 7 o'clock Saturday morning. Women's prayer, what, Thursday? At Moraes. House of prayer. We had it 3 days ago, and so the next house of prayer is in 2 weeks, a Sunday evening. But you don't have to wait. You can pray tonight. We will. 30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. A good report makes the bones healthy. Bone, stomach, brain, all of these health problems from this fallen world. And yet, you know, those that are wicked are self-medicating themselves. You know, the good report makes our bones healthy. The ear that hears, you know, is going to abide. Man, so do we hear? 32, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul. He who heeds rebuke gets understanding. What's your attitude when you're corrected? Finally, the fear of the Lord again, boy, is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. And have that proper awe and respect and fear of God. And humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Thirty-one, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. Jesus said to the seven churches, and said it in Matthew many times, he that has an ear, let him hear. So now at this point, we get to pray and we get to think, which of these Proverbs do I need to go back and look at again? Because the Holy Spirit had one for each one of us tonight, maybe more than one. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you, and we bring our hearts to you. We have many things in our hearts. We have difficult things in our hearts. We have joy. We have bitterness. Some are sick. Some are just beaten down. Lord, we need wisdom. We need to rest in you. We need to seek you. We need to speak words of truth, to use our mouth to bless others. Or Lord, maybe we're here tonight and we're just thinking, tonight I need somebody to speak words to me. That word in due season, how good it will be. Lord, let us encourage one another tonight before we leave this place. Let us take the time to see how we're doing, to ask, to love one another. For we're the body of Christ, we get to do that. Lord, we pray for those who wanted to be here and couldn't be. You know, I think of Dee, I think of Bonnie, I think of Charlie, Annie. Lord, that you'd encourage them. Lord, I want to pray for Mike, who's in the hospital. He went last night, and he used to come here. He's, you know, I hear he's gotten himself right with God, and Lord, plug him into a good church home or back here, but let somebody go and encourage him too. Lord, we give you this evening. We thank you for the kids in the Iwana Club. Lord, we just pray that, you know, they hid words in their heart tonight, that we did too. In Jesus' name, amen.